All right, hello and welcome into the Gullah Frogs bullpen. This is our 14th episode. No Nate today. I am once again joined by Carson. Carson, how are you today?
I'm good, JD. How are you?
You know, I'm ready to talk some ball. We got a pretty packed show today. It's the mid-season review that we're going to go into. A slight little recap on the UTA game, and we'll dive into the Cincinnati weekend series. Brett was supposed to be on the podcast tonight. He unfortunately wasn't able to make it, and neither was Nate. But don't worry, Brett will be with us for next week's Texas Tech preview, which Brett is
He
a closeted Texas Tech fan.
wouldn't miss that for the world. Are you kidding?
Oh, yeah. That's
He's not
going to
going to
be a
miss that.
fun show. Let's go ahead and talk about it. TCU had. Okay, before I go into this, let me just jump in front of it and say I jinxed the loss, the midweek loss. Last episode, I said, Carson, I just want to let you know TCU's never lost a midweek game. And you said, why do you want to watch the world burn? And I said, no, that won't happen. And it happened.
I mean, I guess it makes our podcast more interesting, but
Carson, I don't think I've been right on like a single take this season so far, really. Minus Brody Green.
Brody Green, you were right on for sure.
Yeah, Brody
For
Green.
sure.
Everything else, I don't think I've – the amount of times that I've jinxed this team, I just might have to stop talking about it.
There have been a couple times where you've been like half right. Don't discredit yourself.
I appreciate you having my back. TCU, the first midweek loss of the season to UTA. They lost 6-4. It was a it was a kind of trial and error game through the lineup. We saw a bunch of new faces in the lineup. A few players moved around. Zach Wattis made his first career start. Camden Sauce made his first career start. That was not in the DH slot. Peyton Tolley was back in the DH spot. No Carson Bowen. Curtis Byrne was the catcher. And Ryder Robinson and Silva were up the middle again. Just give me your thoughts.
So I watching the game, I wasn't happy with it for sure. I thought some of the pitchers, I thought there were some questionable pitching decisions at least, like in different at bats that led to UTA scoring a little bit more. But overall, I'm not circling this game on my calendar and saying, yeah, this was the pivotal game that we lost. Like I don't think this game will have a lot of impact on anything down the road. I think, like you said, it was just kind of a trial and error game. And we've seen correct me if I'm wrong, we've seen more teams kind of take the midweeks as a trial and error game where they're trying new stuff, trying new pitchers. I mean, it's become kind of typical this season.
Yeah, I think it's, I want to say especially whenever you're really this kind of deep into the season, you're at the, halfway point of the season that you got guys that are already still getting tired. So it's good to sit them in the midweek game when you can and try new things going on. But I mean, it's still a game that affects, your RPI. And when TCU is struggling as much as they have in conference play, you kind of start to look at your RPI, which 26 or TCU is 26th in the country in right now. So they don't really have too much to worry about that right now. But I mean, I think it's a midweek game. You look at a team like Florida, who's pretty much yet to win a midweek game. And they're still a top five team in the country. As long as you really take care of what you need to take care of on the weekend, the midweek can kind of slack off a little bit. So,
yeah, I think we've probably seen the most like midweek upsets ever this season, just because, I mean, like those lower seeded teams and RPI have started to look at those games as like must win games.
Yeah,
so they're gonna throw like their Saturday or Friday night starter against that team.
Yeah, we saw that when who was it came to town? Was it Texas State? Did their
yeah
save their Friday night starter to face TCU on Tuesday?
Yep, and it almost worked.
Yeah, it's Kirk's out there trying different things, especially on the pitching side. He got Ben Hampton only going two innings. Mosiello only got one out on his outing, giving up four runs. Colt Taylor looked good. Storm Hierholzer looked good. Braden Sloan, we got to see him back out. And Caden Parker even looked good and has some control on that one. So, I think it's good. You alluded to it before we started recording that these guys need their innings. They're going to play a major role, and especially you already saw one injury in the bullpen in Kyle Ayers. It's next man up at this point.
Yeah.
Wow,
I didn't realize Mosiello was four of those runs.
Yeah, he was
I knew he gave up two or three. I didn't know it was four.
Yeah, it was four. He
Ooh.
He, He got one strikeout, I believe it was to the first batter he faced, and then
Yeah.
four hits for four runs. And
Okay, I got you.
Zach Wattis, though, first career game and hit an absolute bomb.
Yeah, pretty much dead center too. Like
Yeah.
that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's a pretty swing, and you know, that's, we're going to talk about it later when we get to the Cincinnati part of the show, but maybe he's an option for DH spot. That swing looked good, you know. He
I mean,
looked
I
like
think
he
there's,
wanted to play.
I mean, at this point, I think there's four guys that are up for DH spot. Camden Saw, Zach Wattis. Honestly, you can throw Sam Myers into that conversation.
Yeah, you could throw almost everyone on the bench.
Yeah.
Except Brody Green. Anyways, yeah, anything else you kind of want to talk about that? I didn't really have much to say on that one. It's a loss. It is what it is. It's a midweek. You go and attack this week in Cincinnati, and who cares what happened in the midweek?
Yeah, I mean D1 baseball has kind of been saying that for a while, for a few years now. Like they don't really care what happens in the midweek if you're winning on the weekends. I mean,
Yeah.
as long as you're winning the series or sweeping, you're not going to go down in ranking. You're not going to, be damaged by that.
Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and move on to talking about Cincinnati. First year in the Big 12, new little team. They're 16-13 on the season, 4-5 in Big 12 play to start the season. You know, they got a great lineup. I want to give them that. They just really heavily struggle on the pitching side of things. And I think it's kind of in a, you know, an unmovable object versus relentless force, basically going against their pitching in our lineup right now. That kind of be
Yeah.
nice to see who wins. But you know, I think maybe playing in Cincinnati, you know, show some things off. I don't know if they've ever played that far up north before, but you know, maybe it's a winnable series 100%.
Yeah, well, I mean, like you said, the pitching. I mean, you're not gonna it's I don't think we're gonna see a pitcher's duel all weekend. I don't think that's gonna happen. Their best starting pitcher, Nathan Taylor, has a 6.678 ERA. Like that's not good.
Yeah.
They do have three bullpen arms that I've kind of got circled, where two of or yeah. So Brendan Gurula has might have botched that, I don't know. He's got 25 and two innings with a 2.1 ERA. Like that's extremely good. Then you've got Christian Mitchell, 18 innings, 2 ERA. Ryan Ensko, 2.245 ERA with 14 innings pitched. Like those guys are going to be the guys that we're probably going to see the most.
Yeah, especially when you look at like Ryan Ensko's opponent batting average is a 185, which is extremely good through
Yeah.
nearly 15 innings pitched.
Oh, yeah.
You will see a lot though with a lot of the Cincinnati arms is that they give up a good amount of walks. Higher than most, you know, higher than the national average is. But I think, you
Yeah.
know, it's TCU can play their game, right? You know, go back into working their deep counts, work, you know, work the counts with the free passes that Cincinnati gives up, then, you know, they're kind of playing right into your hand and you're kind of hoping that that's what happens this weekend.
Well, especially because TCU's kind of started to not press, trying to do too much
Yeah.
now. Like, since they've gone back to their, hey, we're gonna just add the words. Just leaving my head. We're just gonna, no, I got it. We're just gonna suffocate you all 9 innings until we've got 13 to 14 runs. I mean, as long as you stick to your game plan, this should be a series that you win.
Yeah, there are. Yeah, I mean, we talked about their lineup too a little bit too. They have over, let me make sure I'm getting this number right. They have over six guys in their starting lineup that have over a 300 batting average. And there's some scary names out there, right? Josh
Yeah.
Cross, 11 home runs on the season.
Yeah.
I think that's almost more than the entire TCU team has. I'm kidding. I digress. 11 home runs on the season. He's got a 302 batting average, 414 on base percentage, 629 slugging, which is
Yeah.
nuts.
That's crazy.
And he's got 12 walks to 15 strikeouts. So he's, you know, he's gonna put the ball in play. That's for sure.
Yeah, I believe he got Big 12 honors at the beginning of the year. I think he might have been the only hitter on Cincinnati that got that. And I mean, 11 home runs for good reason, I guess.
Yeah. And I just noticed this, and he has 44 RBIs on the season, which is 18 more than the next closest on the team.
Yeah, he's your it's amazing that he's hitting fifth or that he's hitting sixth in the lineup.
He has
I don't know
44
why
RBIs.
why would you not have him third in the lineup? That's so odd to
Yeah,
me.
he's leading the team with 44, and the highest leader that leading RBI getter on TCU's team is Curtis Byrne with 26. He has 18 more RBIs than our highest player.
Yeah. That's
That
insane.
those are nuts stats.
Yes. Yeah,
Wow.
I think I read something about him earlier this season after he went like 2 for 4 with 2 home runs in one game or something like that, where he was like a projected like second round pick. So, I
Yeah.
mean, his hitting backs it up too. Damn.
He's been hit by pitch 11 times too.
Hey,
He almost has more hit by pitches than walks on the season.
don't forget about his stolen base.
Yeah, one
He's
stolen base.
one for one. He's a speed threat, man.
Yeah, but hey, Josh Cross does it all. But yeah, they got some other guys, right? Like Josh Hagerman, left fielder, 382 batting average.
Yeah.
Only a 461 slug, so he's a slap little single hitter. But you know, that does his job, right? 14 walks to 12 strikeouts on the season. So he's got a good eye. He's gonna work counts deep. They just got some guys down there in the lineup that you kind of got to worry about a little bit, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I will say their bench has no depth.
Yeah.
So that's something to keep an eye on. It again, it might be a battle of who's got more hitting talent across the board. I mean, Dalton Pearson 211, Alec Jones 207. Their best bench bat has 8 at bats and he's batting 250.
Yeah.
So something to keep an eye on.
I mean, they got dudes in the lineup, and we've already kind of talked about their pitching a little bit. They're not gonna beat you through their pitching, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But who knows? All it, you know, baseball is a weird sport. Their starting rotation could all of a sudden become aces,
Yeah,
and
true.
that's just baseball for you right there. I mean, I like TCU's odds in this one. What's your prediction for it?
For this series, I'm gonna take TCU with a sweep.
Okay.
I think they're riding high. I think the hitting approach is back, and I think that Cincinnati is vulnerable enough to where TCU can just outlast them all 3 games. Doesn't necessarily mean big crooked numbers in the first or second inning. I just think TCU is the more consistent lineup, even with the stretch that we had.
Yeah, I do really think that this is like the much needed break in the lineup that we talked about earlier that TCU needed with Houston last weekend and then now Cincinnati, that it kind
Yeah.
of just helps them get their feet back on track before next weekend's series. So I'm taking TCU to win the series 2-1. I do think the Klecker bump day could get a little scary considering he's a pitch to contact guy and
Right.
Cincinnati can bang the ball around, that I think that gets a
Yeah.
little dicey. But I mean, I would love a sweep. TCU with the sweep would put them pretty much in argument for first place back in the in conference standings. But I kind of like it. Any specific player on Cincinnati that you want to talk about this weekend before we move into some questions for the weekend series?
No, I think we kind of covered it. I was talking about Lawdon Brooks being a player to watch just because of his journey. 2020, he's batting like 211 on Texas Tech, only getting like maybe 20 appearances or something like that. Yeah, he's batting 376 now.
Yeah.
So whatever he did in the off season, do I need to do that too? I don't know. Maybe it just made him a better.
Carson, I think we're too far lost causes for us right now anymore.
He went from batting 211 to 376. He's one of the best hitters on the team. I can do it too, JD. I can
Yeah.
do it too.
Hey, I believe in you, buddy. All
All
right, let's not put him in
right.
a cage. All right, let's move into some questions for the weekend, why don't we? Who needs a better weekend this weekend? Cole Klecker on the mound or Carson Bowen in the lineup?
Clicker. Bowen's been taking better at bats. Kleker needs a weekend where he's like 5, 6 innings deep, maybe only 2 or 3 runs scored. He needs that.
Cole Klecker only has, let me make sure I'm, oh, Cole has not recorded a win yet as the starting pitcher on the mound. The closest he came to it, and when he should have got his win, was against Arizona State, on that Saturday game. I want to say Klecker, but I have to go Carson Bowen. I know he's taking better at bats. I know he looks better, but when you kind of need that guy to be good. He was great last year. He was a little firecracker in the lineup that you needed. He's got speed on the base pass, even though he's a catcher. Like, he's an all-around player that I think even, we saw him last weekend at first base for 2 out of the 3 games, and the weekend before at first base. So, he's not even catching as much now that I think it might be a confidence issue that if he can have a big weekend, that it turns things around for this lineup.
I got you. Yeah, I can get behind that. Would you want him to like go to DH and just hit and have somebody else play first?
No, I'm fine with leaving him at first just because that DH spot I'd rather see opened up to other players. Like, speaking of, our next question is, who do we expect to see in the DH spot? Who do you want to see? Who do you expect? What you thinking?
I want to see Dallin Leach.
I like that.
One at bat. One hit and it's a double, stand up double. But as for who I think we're gonna see, I think Sarlos is probably gonna match power with power and go with Zach Wattis with the one pitch home run in the midweek. I feel like Wattis has power, and I feel like that's gonna be Sarlos's game this weekend.
Who I want to see? Brody Green. But
Stop it.
who knows when he's coming back from his
He's
injury?
not
I
coming back,
can't I
JD.
hey,
He's not
you
coming
take that
back.
back. You take that back right now.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
He is the savior this
Yeah,
team needs. He will be back and better than ever. But who I
he
expect to
will.
see, call me crazy, but depending on Peyton Chatagnier's feeling, I think maybe we see him in the DH spot just so he's not in the field running around as much, kind of keeps him a little bit limited. But we've talked about his bat being hot and cold, but you still want him in the lineup. You still want to
Yeah.
find a spot for him that if you could throw him in a DH spot to where his running is limited from not being in the field, then I think it's something that might be an option. If he's not good to go, maybe Jack Basir. You're not gonna hit crazy power, especially out there with that wind in Cincinnati. That, you need a contact guy, right?
Yeah.
Just kind of
Yeah.
roll with it.
So
Yeah, go ahead.
one thing I want to point out, Cincinnati's 9-3 at home.
Yeah.
So at home they're pretty good. That's just some I feel like that could definitely be something that kind of sways a lot of people when picking the series. I'm still gonna stick with the sweep though.
Yeah, TCU's yet to win an away series too, as well.
Yeah.
So, just something to look at. Starting rotation, who are we expecting it to be, and what order are you expecting it? Are you still expecting Louis Tully and Klecker?
I don't mind. I see, I don't know because
Talking through it, talking through your thought process, Carson. Let's get it going.
right, let's give a little insight into my head. So if I'm a coach and I see that the Louis Toley Klecker rotation worked pretty well, and if I feel like the team feels good about that rotation, I probably keep it. But then again, Tolley's energy on the mound is unmatched. And so I feel like I would want him on the Friday night bump just because winning that first game is so important, right? I think it's going to be Tolley, Louie, Klecker this weekend. I wouldn't be surprised if they just do the same thing as this past weekend against Houston.
Call me crazy, but I'm going Klecker, Tolley, Louie.
What?
Yeah, we saw that last week that Kirk likes to give an extra day rest to Tolley after he throws a lot of pitches. He threw 123 last weekend, so he kind of gave him that extra day rest, started him on Friday night against Houston when it should have been the Thursday night opening series starter, right? You know, Louis was in that Sunday starter position. Cole was your Friday night starter last year. He has that experience. He knows it. Maybe he needs that extra juice that happens on a Friday night when you got to get the series started.
Yeah, you know? I don't hate that take.
Yeah.
I think it's wrong.
Yeah, I think it's wrong, but I wouldn't mind seeing it, right? Like, I'm cool with it because I don't, like, Klecker doesn't look bad when he's pitching.
Right.
Some of his breaking balls, yeah, look a little flat or get left in the zone.
He goes deep into counts.
Yeah, I think like maybe you get that Friday night juice going. Like, hey, and especially when you're facing a starting rotation like Cincinnati's who doesn't have that dominant Friday guy as well. Like,
right.
Maybe it's a time to try something new. Let's throw him on a Friday night. See, he didn't throw that many pitches last week. He threw, I believe it was like 60 on
like
Sunday.
65, yeah.
Yeah. So he's already probably thrown a bullpen. I think it's just like when it looks to seem like it's a feel thing as a pitcher, like, hey, let's just switch his day up, right? And then if he still has a bad day, well, you still got Toley and Louis following him right after.
Yeah. Louis is a Sunday starter, definitely. Like, that's probably one of the best matchups in the nation.
Yeah.
Just because I don't think you're going to find a better Sunday starter right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, and if you can throw him in that Sunday spot and you can get Klecker going and you get Toley going, that is one of the best rotations in the country from Friday through Sunday.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do think it'll be interesting to see what happens, especially with Toley throwing over 120 pitches last weekend. Kind of interested to see what his leash is as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it. I
you think
I
he's
don't
going
think
deep again if he's
no.
pitching well?
It depends on the pitch count.
Yeah.
If it's over 100 again, I think he maxes out at like 105 pitches.
Yeah.
I don't think Sarlos is going to throw him that long, 3 weekends in a row. I feel like that'd be just a little bit too risky.
Yeah.
With
even if he throws 105 pitches, it brings his, you know, pitch per game average the last 3 weeks to about 120, which is still absurd. So, I think if the offense can get totally a sizable lead going into like the sixth inning, I think Kirk might just pull him then, just give him that extra little bit of rest, depending what day he's starting, even if he's fully rested or whatever. So, I think there's just a lot to watch with that starting rotation this weekend. If can Louis be as good as he has been the last 2 weeks? Because if he is, then hey, we got something cooking in this rotation.
Yeah,
but.
for sure.
And Louis's all about his slider. If his slider's working, hey, one of the best pitchers in the country.
Easily.
From
what we saw, yeah.
All right, let's move into the Around the Big 12 preview a little bit. We got a pretty good weekend of baseball in the Big 12. TCU on Cincinnati. You already picked a TCU sweep. We got West Virginia at Kansas. Who you got for that one?
Normally, I would pick Kansas because it's in Kansas, but I think West Virginia is just the better overall team. I think it's not that they're like generations better at one of them. I think they're just a little bit better at both pitching and hitting. So I think they take that series 2-1.
Does that by proxy mean West Virginia is better than TCU?
Call it what you want.
All right, I thought I'd get you in a little trap there. Houston
yeah,
at Texas Tech.
You can't scare me. I've got Texas Tech. I think Houston takes one.
Okay. I think it's the. I think we're seeing a Tech sweep this weekend.
I think so.
Tech always is the same as TCU. They turn a corner at some point of the season, and they get it going.
You think
and
that corner
always
this
right?
Weekend?
It's always right before they play each other. And that's coming up. So,
I was gonna say, yeah.
Incarnate Ward at Baylor, not a conference game, but kind of want to get your thoughts on this series because Baylor's, you know,
I don't know.
BYU at Texas.
I'll take since it's at home. I'll take Baylor. BYU at Texas. Texas for sure. I think they sweep.
Okay. And then the two best series of the weekend, in my opinion, Kansas State at UCF.
UCF.
Sweep.
UCF, not sweep. No,
okay.
Not sweep.
Okay. I wanted to see how confident you were.
No, UCF takes that series. Kansas has shown a little bit of vulnerability with their relief pitching. It seems like they've only got one or two guys they can turn to. UCF, I feel like they just play better on the weekends.
Yeah.
And they're just fun to watch as well.
UCF is
Submit.
just good, man.
Yeah, they are.
Oklahoma at Oklahoma State, Bedlam. The weekend series of Bedlam, not the midweek games that they also have.
Yeah, for some odd reason.
Yeah.
But okay, wait, does TCU and Baylor have one of those?
Yes.
Okay, I was gonna say, I think we play Baylor and then like a week later we play a midweek for no reason.
Yeah, it's very odd. It's because Iowa State decided not to have a baseball team.
Okay, I was gonna say. Yeah, that one's interesting. You've got the offense of Oklahoma, and then you've got Oklahoma State's starting pitching. And I feel like since it's again, I'm a big home advantage guy in the Big 12, and I feel like Oklahoma State has the tools to do it. Oklahoma's coming off of a sweep from Lamar. Now, Lamar's a good team. I think that pissed Oklahoma off. I think they win the series in Bedlam. As
Yeah.
much as I hate to support the team that is leaving the Big 12 for the SEC, I think Oklahoma takes it.
Yeah, I think Oklahoma takes this as well. Mainly because I hate Oklahoma State's broadcasting booth and I hate the radar guns. I don't know
Their
if you saw
radar guns are odd.
their radar guns are extremely hot. They had a
Yeah.
pitcher last night in their midweek game who their radar showed was throwing 103.
Yeah, it's not 103.
He hasn't hit above 98 all season.
I was gonna say it's like 98 maybe.
Yeah. I was like, wow, you guys really love inflating your numbers over there.
I hate how every Twitter account like latched onto that clip
Yeah.
too.
Yeah,
Like
I was like, wow, this lefty Kyle Ward throwing 103 from the left side. And I'm like, buddy, watch a series.
there's a reason he hasn't done that all year.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
Like, don't
Peyton
get me
Tolley was
wrong.
throwing 96 that day.
Yeah,
He does
Tolley does
not throw
not.
96.
His fastball might seem like 96, but
Yeah.
it's not.
Yeah, it's 90, 91, 92.
Yeah.
90 mainly.
I mean, don't get me wrong. As a pitcher, you can rear back and just let one go, but you're not jumping 5 to 6 miles an hour when you do that. You're maybe getting 1 to 2.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. All right. That'll kind of do that for that part. Now let's go into our mid-season review. Like I said, we are at the mid-season point. We have 6 more weeks of baseball left in the season, 6 more weekend series at least. And we're kind of just going to do a little mid-season review. We're going to do it by a grading scale. We're going to do basically going into the season, a B will be this. If you give a group a B average, that means they're doing about what you expected. Going into the season, an A means they're doing better than you expected. C means they're slightly worse than what you expected, and F means holy cow, what happened? But let's go ahead and we're gonna do starters for our first group. And Carson, what's your grade? What are you giving the starters at this point in the midseason? Ben
Starter.
Hampton is we are not qualifying as a starter, just for clarification.
Yeah. Do we want to do it solo, like
Let's
Peyton Tolley, Klecker, and Louie, or just as a whole?
because there's only 3 starters, let's do each one individual, but let's do the group as a whole as well, because I think
Okay.
that's a group we should do as a whole.
So as a whole, I'm going to give the starting pitching an A minus. I think it's been pretty good, especially as of recent. But I feel like it can get even better.
Okay, I like that. I'm going with the C.
Really?
Yeah. Peyton Tolley obviously has been way more dominant
Right.
than we kind of expect him to be, and especially as of recent. Cole Klecker's been finding his struggles. Zach Morris is barely even making it any appearances. Braden Sloan
Oh.
was the Sunday starter and then is now completely out of that picture. And then you
Okay.
got Louie, who's finally back in, and
So I didn't account for the guys that made starts and didn't deliver. Hang on, let me reevaluate.
I knew when I told Ma that you'd be like, wait a minute.
So, okay. Yeah, for the three guys that have started for the past, 2, 3 weeks, I'm giving an A minus just because I feel like they've done the job pretty well. For overall, B minus. Because I mean you've had guys that have looked really good in the midweeks that have not delivered at all on the weekends.
I think it's just like, You know, and that's kind of been the story, especially last year with the starting rotation too. It's kind of mix and match all season long that you kind of expect that. It's very rare you see an entire starting rotation go week in, week out for any program. But yeah, I mean, obviously, I think by that grade is only going up higher and higher. And, you know, if this weekend rotation can hold firm for the rest of the season, we're looking at an A, maybe an A plus if Klecker turns it around. Speaking of, you know, each one, Peyton Tolley, what you giving him?
A plus.
A plus?
A plus from what he has become. Like he is the pitcher that you don't want to see now.
Yeah.
Like as for so he started again, I'm sorry about the noise if you guys can hear that. My roommates are doing some kind of frat thing. I think one of them is DJing tonight at a bar. I don't know. But Peyton Tolley at the beginning started to look like kind of a guy that's going to be hit or miss. And he's just, again, like I said, he's turned into the go-to guy.
Yeah, I will go with an A on Tolley just because the start of this season, I do kind of think that I don't know how I want to word this. I do think him being in the lineup, which doesn't account towards his pitching grade, still kind of brings it down a little bit for me because I think it kind of started causing him to press on the mound and in the batter's box because he wasn't performing on either. But I think once we've seen him start kind of take a back seat to hitting, it's really affected how well he's done pitching. Cole Klecker, I'll go ahead and give my grade. I go with the B. I kind of expected some regression from Klecker going into the season. It was just kind of natural. Did I think I'd see this much regression as we've seen? No, but he still hasn't looked bad. Like I like his starts. Like when it's still a Klecker bump day, I'm going into the day going, hey, it's Klecker bump day. Good day to get a win. I'm not being like, man, Klecker bump day. I hope the offense is here. No, like I still feel good about where he is.
Yeah, he's still a guy that can definitely be like just he's kind of the same as the Cam Brown from last year. Like you're either gonna get six shutout innings or you're not gonna see him in the third inning. It's just either or. I'm gonna give him a B minus. Because in college baseball, we don't really see a lot of pitchers like you don't see them regress often. At least it happens less often in the MLB. Like pitchers in the MLB can have a really, really good year and then have a 6-7 ERA the next 4 years. Like it's just kind of a feel thing for them that year. But yeah, kind of like you said, we've seen a little bit of regression, but it's still, I mean, he can still pitch on 99% of college baseball teams. Like he can still be that Sunday starter.
Yeah, I do. I definitely think he gets back to it, to how he used to be. All right, Louis. Going A. I couldn't give a plus. I'm gonna go with the A.
Okay. I think I might be in agreement with you there. Just
Yeah.
because I can't really think of a reason why I wouldn't give him an A. That's the thing. Like he has just been more than advertised.
Yeah, the A is because he's been better than what I thought. I think the A plus is mainly because I don't know how whether I would rather see him in the starting rotation or out of the bullpen yet because he's very valuable in both spots, and I don't know what is needed more on this team right now.
That's fair.
All right, let's go lineup. We're not gonna do talk about individual players. Let's just go with the lineup as a whole. Basically lineup construction, a little slight amount of we can dive into maybe one player if we really want to, but let's just what are you giving the lineup? The TCU offensive production.
B minus. Looked really good to begin the year. In those 13 games, there were definitely some signs of not being a consistent lineup, but I didn't really believe them. I kind of pushed them to the back of my head. I think this offense is supposed to be a lot better. I'll be frank. I think that from what they showed at the beginning of the season, I think that they are supposed to and can be a lot better.
Yeah. You make me seem like such a Debbie Downer when I give my grades out, because
Yeah.
I'm going with the C minus.
Okay. I mean, that's I expected it.
I couldn't give him the F, because I haven't given up on him. I'm not wondering what's happening. It's just more like this offense, like you said, should be so much better than it is, and it's just not. Like I understand maybe a weekend slump or something, but it was like 3 weekends in a row where we were kind of like, hey, what's going on with the offense? It's
Well, I
just something
mean,
that like you shouldn't be happening with the talent that is on the team.
you look at kind of the 4-game stretch very early in the season with Texas State and then UCLA for a weekend series. I mean, 6-5, 4-3, 6-3, and then 13-3. They turn it around against UCLA on Sunday, but then again, you should always live by Sunday games, anything can happen. Any team can beat any team. But those that 6-4-6, like we kind of called that like a gritty win, a gritty close win. No, that was just the other team, I think, not being able to produce runs. I think that's what it was. And I think we kind of inflated our idea of this team when we saw those wins.
I don't want to say it in a bad way that I think the lineup is bad. I just think that there's so much more production that is yet to arrive that when it does arrive, this TCU will be the top five team that they were at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
And I think we're closer to turning the corner than we have been in recent weeks. I think especially now that we're kind of starting to see a more consistent lineup week in, week out.
Yeah.
And barring injuries, I'm sure we'll keep seeing a consistent one. All right, let's go into slight awards. Not really, but kind of. Who's been the most surprising player for you this season? Pitcher, hitter, anything. Who has surprised you the most? Whether it's in a bad way or a good way.
It's probably been Anthony Silva, and a little bit in a bad way, because he's definitely, again, like a lot of the guys on this TCU baseball team, like they've started to put it together at the plate, especially him. He's looked a lot better in midweek games and on the weekend, but he is definitely a kind of a shadow of his former self at the plate. It seems like some at bats earlier in the season, he was trying to hit for power, where he really wasn't that last year. Like he got some out of the yard, but for the most part, he was doubles down the line, doubles in the gap kind of guy.
I'm so confused with Anthony Silva. It's like was last was because like I don't want to mention regression again, but it's a slight like he's performing really well, but it's
Yeah.
regress from his fantastic season last season. That is this just Anthony Silva? Like, is this just him, or is it, hey, maybe it's a minor slump?
I mean, I think it's just mental. I think that's all it was.
He's still putting great at bats together.
Yep.
Bat to ball skills are still there. Looks good in the field still.
I will say I can probably count on two hands how many line drives he's had that just go straight to the center fielder or straight to a middle infielder. So,
He's been getting robbed a lot. My
yeah.
player that surprised me the most is Chase Brunson, but in a good way. We knew Chase was kind of going to be the starting center fielder going into the season.
Right.
He was kind of really the only true center fielder that was on the roster. And as a freshman playing in the Big 12, and especially with high expectations for a top five team, he's stepped into this role and he's performed extremely well. 309 batting average, 3 home runs on the year, 866 on base percentage, 15 walks and 19 strikeouts, 3 stolen bases. He's patrolling center field at a great level, not elite, but great level. And I think a lot of it too is he's cut down on a lot of those mistakes he was making at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
It was like once a weekend he'd have an error, and he's really cut down on that. I truly think he's came in and beat my expectations out for what I expected from him.
Yeah. I didn't expect really, like I knew Logan Maxwell was going to be in the outfield or, DHing just because of his experience, but I didn't know what our outfield was going to look like coming into this season. Like I didn't really look at because I wasn't able to attend the fall games. Like, I didn't know what we were going to see. And he definitely came out of the gate just a laser. Like, he's been really good.
Yeah. All right. Next award. Who are you hoping to see more from? Whether that's hoping to see them get more playing time on the mound or in the lineup, or you just want to see them perform better?
I want to see Braden Sloan perform better. I think he has shown qualities of being a really, really good relief pitcher. He sits 91 to 93 with the fastball, has a devastating slider. It's just a matter of locating it. And I feel like I'm sure that Starlos and them are working on that, but he's shown flashes, like a lot of these guys, of being really, really good, but just hasn't been consistent. He's been hit or miss.
Yeah. I like that. I think that's a really good pick, and I think he's got the stuff and the intangibles to definitely be a big difference maker on the team.
Yeah. Plus, I just love emotion on the mound.
Yeah.
I'll always stand by that.
Who I want to see more of is Brody Green. I'm just kidding. It is not Brody Green.
It's just going to be your answer for every question from now on.
Hey, to be fair, he has impressed me the most this season, but I didn't say it. I want to see more Storm Hierholzer. In his appearances, 5.2 innings pitched on the season, he's looked good. Don't get me wrong, he's had like a bad appearance here, but like he looks good. He's got a funky arm angle, and he throws some pretty, good heat that I think he's kind of getting underutilized, and I'd like to see him get used more. Only 5.2 innings pitched. He's got the fourth least amount of pitches or innings pitched on the season.
Yeah,
I think he's just, you give him some more experience, and I think you're looking at a great valuable arm out of the bullpen that I'd like to see getting used.
Yeah, his two-seam and off-speed stuff are disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, I watched his, I don't even know if it was a two-seam. Like, it looked like a changeup, but it looked gross, dude.
Yeah, it's,
oh my gosh.
It's insane. All right, next one. Who has been the MVP of the first half for you?
Come on, man. Do I even need to say it?
Oh, come on.
Logan Maxwell.
And you were
going to
say, say something about me picking. You know what?
Let's
Brody
go.
Green is mine.
What?
Go ahead.
No, it's Logan Maxwell, and it has to be. I mean, he has been the only consistent hitter where I think he only has like three games without a hit. I mean, batting .374 on the season, he has been the best hitter on the team. .374, he's got 91 at bats, 34 hits, 10 doubles. It's not that he's hitting home runs every other at bat, because he has none. Like, it's just that he is a consistent hitter that gets on base. Also, leads the team in walks, 23 walks on the season. Like, I cannot talk enough about this guy, because he is like, he is playing himself into getting drafted. Like, that's what he has done in the past 365 days.
Yeah. I do definitely think that Maxwell has a case for being the best player on the team currently. Like, at least in the lineup. For me, myself, and I, going Curtis Byrne. I think him being in the lineup has proved to be valuable and basically what you expected from him. But him seeing the majority of the time catching and his voice as a vocal leader on this team, I think has really, really been major for this team, especially being able to have a player like Curtis Byrne who you can throw at catcher when Carson Bowen is struggling, that he's just being able to, he's been there, done that. He knows all of it. And he's consistent, right? Like, you know what you're going to get from Curtis, and he's done that game in, game out.
Yeah.
I
can get behind that.
Yeah. All right. Last one before we close this thing out. Who is your guess for the MVP of the second half of the season? Not including regional, super regional in Omaha.
Right.
But just for the second half of the season, who do you think will be the difference maker on this team?
I think it's going to be Luis Rodriguez. And I think what he has shown in the past, just the past two times we've seen him, I mean, it's just been lights out for the most part. I think he is that third guy that they need in the starting rotation.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's a good pick. I'm going Peyton Tolley.
Both pitchers, okay.
But Peyton Tolley's going to finish with over 10 home runs on the season. That is my hot take for the season. He's at 2 right now. He's got to average 1 a weekend and 2 in a midweek game.
So I would love that. But I feel like they've already gone and said that he's not going to, like, from past 3 weekends, I think he's only played in 2 games. Like as the DH. I don't know if he's going to get enough attempts to do that. Do you think he just hits a hot streak?
I think he won. I think he hits a hot streak. And 2, I think we see him in the lineup a lot more often, especially in the last 4 weeks of the season. You're in the last 4 weeks of the season, right? It's all hands on deck once you get to that point.
Well, yeah. But I mean, would you not go to, like, Basir, Wattis, or Camden Sauce? The more, like, well, I say the more consistent hitters, but we don't know yet.
You're telling me fate of the world. Alien death ray aimed at you.
I mean, I'm just, okay, you know what? I'll say this. If it's at home, I want Tolley.
Yeah.
And you want to know why?
That right field fence?
Nope, the walk-up song.
Yeah.
It just, that walk-up song gets the, it gets Lupton Stadium just rocking, man.
Yeah.
It is awesome. I can't be in the press box for his at-bats.
Yeah.
I have to be, like, in the stands because it's so electric.
Yeah. All right. Any hot take you want to share before we close this thing out? Does Logan Maxwell hit a home run this season, Carson?
Yes. Oh, absolutely he does. Are you kidding me?
I thought he'd hit one at the halfway point, but he hasn't yet.
I keep, like, envisioning in my mind that he hit one at Lupton, like, week 2. And it's like the Ryder Robinson thing all over again.
Yep. Yep. He's got no home runs on the season.
Yeah. No, I think he hits one, and I think it's at Lupton.
Okay. Just for purposes, he only has 2 home runs in his career at TC.
How many of them are Lupton?
I don't have those. Wait. I can get those stats. Both of them.
2020, I just can't. I can't miss.
Now let me rain on that parade slightly. He already is at 8 less plate appearances this season than he was last season when he hit his 2 home runs. So, unless he quickly turns a corner.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't see those stats on my computer. They must not
be. Oh, here. I'll send a picture to you. We'll talk about it afterwards.
No, you don't need to.
Okay. Any hot take before we close this out?
No, I'm excited to watch this weekend. Let me know if you want to go watch one of the games Buffalo Wild Wings or something like that.
Quick thing. Let's make a prediction real quick. I didn't put this in the Google Doc, but I want to.
Okay. All right.
Does TCU host a regional? Do they sneak back into the top 16?
No.
No?
I think it's. I mean, if you're going to get back into the top 16, that means you have to, first of all, win every weekend from here on out, which if TCU sweeps Cincinnati, winning by 10 runs every game, I'll be like, okay, maybe that is possible.
TCU sweeps this weekend. And then win series against Tech and Texas and Kansas State and West Virginia.
I hate to be a pessimist. I don't think it happens. I think the highest that TCU gets in the rankings is like 20. I don't think they go
higher. Still has another game against DBU as well. That if they beat DBU again.
I mean, that's true.
TCU also has the 5th ranked out-of-conference RPI.
Oh, yeah. And that's because of Texas State and DBU.
Yeah.
I love watching Texas State, by the way.
Dude, they got some flamethrowers.
They're so cool, dude.
Yeah. That Southwest. Hey, speaking of, that Southwestern uniform they wore, they win that game, Carson? Yeah, All right, let's close this thing up. Thank you guys for listening. We will be back on Monday. Nate will be here. There will be four of us on Monday. Me, you, Nate, and Barry, our
That'll
editor,
be fun. Yeah.
Will be here. So thank you guys. We will see you guys on Monday.